¿Cuál es?
Just off yesterday, trying to understand underpinnings of lamedas. The practice that we're pretty much familiar with, the notion that I can walk to shul, get a house and tefillin, the owner's not there, I'm allowed to borrow it. Quote, they said, the problem that the Tzelsi raised was that in terms of pure Dina Mamadis, this doesn't seem to be correct. The house and just take their item. Even though there's an overwhelmingly good chance that when they find out about it, they'll be more than happy. Also, about Metzia writes, it doesn't matter what the chance is. It's called Yish Kidas. They don't say that when the person finds out, therefore, Igloy Milsa retroactively, Igloy Milsa Mafreya, was masking. That's exactly, that is undermined by the very principle of Yish Lomidas Lavi Yish. So we saw at the very end of the show yesterday that the Rambam seems to have something somewhat different to say about the Sug of Yish Lomidas. Because the Gemara in Bava Metzia and the Chabei says that since we passed in Yush Lomidas Lo HaVeYush, if a Reuben walks into a Shimon's field and starts separating two misers, it doesn't matter whether Shimon's happy about it later. It's irrelevant. If Shimon did not appoint him, actually, so Nichusel Mafreya Lo Amrina. You don't say that, well, if he would have known he'd be the Shliach, that he would have appointed him, a whole shtickle term, what would have been, could have been, should have been, would have been. Is irrelevant. Yish Lomidas Lo HaVeYush. The problem is that the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin that invoked the principle of Nichus without the concept of Shalichus. That was a sukkah about Kiddushin. The person was Mekadosh and Isha without seemingly permission to do so with that particular item. And the Gemara discusses, is the Nichus L'mafreya, not Nichus L'mafreya? So it could be for technical grounds, we have to assume that the owner of the item probably was not so thrilled about it. Maybe he was just embarrassed to say otherwise. But the Ikaron, there would be a principle of Nichus L'mafreya. So the poskim started to collect Gemaras. So the Yosef already started this, and the Tzelz finished it and said, wait a second, you have Gemaras that seem to say that somehow you do say Nichus L'mafreya. So how do you make sense of these Gemaras? On the one hand, Yirsh L'midas L'havi Yirsh, and Nichus L'mafreya L'ya Aminan, if the Gemaran condition doesn't apply Nichus L'mafreya. So the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam develops the following simple yisay. He says two words, mitzvah shiny. Amen dvar mamurim, that we say nichus l'mafreya lo amrinan, that's by dvar mishav rishos. I want to take a cup of orange juice from your house. I cannot make a cheshbon that, well, if you would have known about it, you would have given it to me. But if I find an object that you lost, if you would have known about it, you would have been misyayish. No, those are all dvar mishav rishos. And dvar mishav rishos, then the halacha kicks in called the Yush Lamafray, Yush Lamidas Lava, Yush Ay Nichus Lafay Lamina. But whenever you're dealing with the Davisha Mitzvah, then the rules change. And therefore, argues the Kesef Mishnah and followed by the Ksos, that the Rambam understood that it was actually Machlekes HaSugyas about this very point. And true, the Gemara of Metzia that insisted on a Shaliach being present in the case of Truma, otherwise we would have run into an obstacle of Nichus Lamafraya. The Gemara in Kiddushin that applies the Chus L'mafreya without insisting on a Shalich being present must disagree with that very Nakuda. And according to the Sugya in Kiddushin, it must be says the Kesef Mishnah followed by the Ktels that Mokka Mitzvah is different. And that's the reason why the Rambam left out the requirement for Shalichus. So, as we said yesterday, we had two challenges in understanding the Shittas of Rambam. We had to understand textually how could the Rambam leave out the requirement of Shalich for Fashas Tumah that the Gemara says. And even though we can finagle around the Gemara somehow and say, yeah, we don't pass like this Gemara, but like this, what's the rationale? So the Beis Yosef and the Ktzels have told us, here it is. This is the background. This is it. This is the answer. That there's a machlekes asugyas. That's the sugya in a Tzedek Kiddushin. And Yichus of the mitzvah must be different. We still have a long way to go to understand what in the world this means. But says the Ktzels, it's a long Ktzels, we'll read together. Those who have some time today. Every Ktzels is always good reading. I definitely recommended reading. Yeah. Well, our Gemara is not talking about taking somebody's talis. Our Gemara is talking about doing b'digas chametz. The Rishonim extrapolated from our Gemara, you could take somebody's talis and throw it. So the Kesef Mishnah says, how could the Rishonim have missed the Gemara in Bava Metzia that says the Chus L'mafreya Lo Amrinan? So the Kesef Mishnah says, it must be that the Rishonim are going b'ikras HaRambam, that mitzvah trumps everything. And the source that mitzvah trumps everything is that Gemara Kiddushin Daf Mem Beis. So, Yeah. Well, I would even use the words nichla leinish are just the facts in the ground. If it's not, if the psychological truth is not there, then it's not a nichus l'mafreya. So nichla leinish is just establishing that psychologically people are happy about it. But then you have to explain, and therefore what? Then you have to explain that halachically you need the concept of nichus, the mitzvah l'mafreya kiramid, which we have no idea why it works yet. All we did is we explained what. We didn't explain why. No, they're related, but one is psychological, one is halachic.
The reason why I'm okay with it is because
I understand, but that in and of itself would not be enough, because I'm nichlev in a lot of things, but nichus l'mafreya l'amid. I'm happy that you drink my orange juice also. At the end of the day, I'm more than happy when you drink my orange juice. When you come and you walk into my house, take a cup of orange juice, you go home, and you call me an hour later, I'm thrilled that you had a cup of orange juice. But you're still a castle.
But not
by mitzvahs. Why? So that's the deep dark secret. Why? All the guests of Mishnah, the Ketzel did was they identified the Shittas Rambam. They discovered the Rambam that left out the word Shaliach. They're explaining to you why he left it out, because he thought it was a Machlag Zisuk. They created a new category called Nichus of the Mitzvah of Mafreya L'Aminan, but Iko Chosim HaSeifa still haven't explained how does that work? Like what mitzvah gives you a mitzvah is dach gzeila? Like what happened here? If you really believe in chus l'mafreya l'aminan because it's gzeila, so how in the world does bracha mitzvah change anything? So we still haven't gotten to the punchline. We're still steps left. But you're correct that Agamar is related, but Agamar only solves the psychological challenge. It doesn't address the halachic challenge. Right? So the Ketzos, before we get to understanding what the mechanics of this exception to the rule of Nichus the mitzvah is all about, the Ketzos goes from left field to show you he's convinced that it's right. He has no shaila that the Rambam is correct, and the Ketzos Mishnah is right, and this is the answer, and this is the background for the Rishonim of Nichus the mitzvah, Kein Arid on the Mefreya. And it brings you right from Gemara and Erevin. This is the Ketzos Kedaka B'Kodesh. Only the Ketzos, but someone with the stash of the Ketzos is learning a sugya in Bavitzia Daf Chavez, learning a sugya in Kedusha Daf Nun Beis, he's learning a sugya in Psochem Daf Dalam Beis, and he realizes that the key to the whole problem is a Gemara tucked away in the sixth Perek of Masechet Erevin, of all places. Because the Ketzos had Mamish Kol HaTorah Kula in front of his eyes, so it was one big picture. He didn't have to like turn pages in his mind. He just moved his eyes from one piece of the picture to the other piece of the picture. That's what they say. He said about the Gra, and I think it was Shlomo of Vilna, if I'm not mistaken. Shlomo of Vilna had a younger brother. There was a Talmud of Vilna, if I'm not mistaken. And he was known to be a bokish inkabah, mamish, fluent, legamri in Shas. So somebody once asked Shlomo of Vilna, says, what's the difference between your brother and the Gra? The brother knows, mamish called Terakula. I forget the end. How much greater could the Vilna Gaon have said? So he said, my brother, Zalman of Vilna, he knows Shas like a Jew knows Ashrei. Any Jew you stop in the middle of the night, Ashrei, go try to say Ashrei backwards. Stop for the last one, you're pumpkin, you take an hour and a half to say Ashrei going backwards. So he said, my brother knows Shas, it's not a bad accomplishment. From beginning to end, you give a word, hopefully I continue. The Gaon knew Shas going from the backwards and forwards as well. What's the difference? He says, is Shas a book or is Shas a picture? If Shas is a book, so then you read it, you start, and you have to go in sequence, you have to go in order. If Shas is a picture, when you look at a picture, you don't say, let me look at this corner of the picture first, then I'll move my eyes over, then I'll go down it. No, it's one chativa, it's one unit, it's one entity. And you see it all flash in front of your eyes at the same time, and you process it. So I said, that's how the Ketzos process Shas also. So he's learning a sugya in Bav Metzia, with a sugya in Kedusha, with a Rav and Chashumis, and his eyes are in the bottom corner of the picture of the Gemara Tachtu Eir. So So the Mishnahayis and the Gemara is in Eir, talk about the following. We know there's a Takanis Chachamim called Eir Chatzeris. The Gemara actually tells us this goes back to the days of Shlomo HaMelech. That Min HaTorah, as long as you're surrounded by walls, you can do whatever you want in Shabbos. If you're surrounded by three walls, four walls, by the way you think makes up a Shisei Yochid, you're allowed to carry wherever you want. It doesn't matter who owns it. I can go from my apartment, to your house, to my backyard. As long as we're all surrounded by Shisei Yochid, we're all surrounded by walls, it's not a question. But the Rabban and Shlomo Melech was concerned that when you have different Rishuyos belonging to different people, even though they're technically all Shisei Yochids, that spells trouble. Because it's going to give off the impression carrying from my backyard to your backyard, or from my house to your house, from my house to the common backyard. So I'm going from Reuven's property to Reuven and Shimon's property. This all doesn't bode well. But people's confused. People are going to think, well, if I can carry from my house to the backyard, and the backyard partially belongs to you. So the next thing you know is I'll carry it to the street also, because the street is also says public property. So Shlomo HaMelech said that you can't do that. Even though in the Torah, once there are walls around it, it's okay, but the Rabbanim, you can't. The only way to solve that problem is you have to make everybody into one unit, into one rishus. So if you have, let's say you have 10 people living in the same house, so you wouldn't say that's a separate rishus. That's called one rishus. That's called one entity. How do you do that? How do you take 10 strangers and turn them into one big happy family? So like most problems in Judaism, that was happy. So basically what it means is that if everybody takes a little bit of food and they chip it, a little piece of bread, piece of matzah, they put it to one person's house, so they basically moved into that one person for the Shabbos, even though they have their own private houses. But symbolically, they live in one house, and then that one house and the backyard and all the other houses become more bought up for that one house. And Shalom Israel, that's the kind of Erev Chatzeres. So Erev Chatzeres, we do it all the time. That's what we do in our towns and in our cities also. First, we surround all our cities with walls. So we don't literally build walls. We build through a sefesach. We build wires and poles, which are the Sigis in the first one, Erev and Sad Alach equivalent of walls. And after we do that, then we have to do an Erev Chatzeres. So we have to chip, everybody has to chip in. So the Mishnah says an Erev, and you don't have to go around literally asking every single person to give a piece of challah. You can do it easier. One person should buy a box of matzahs, goes to the store, buys a box of matzahs, and hands it over to his friend, and the friend has in mind to be Zaych on behalf of everybody, and everybody has a share in the matzahs. He puts the box in one person's house and Shalom Yisrael. That's it. That's what we do. Everybody, every Jewish community has an Erev, obviously has a Erev. There is just a technical problem that there are non-Jews who live in our communities, so they're obviously not going to be part of the Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres doesn't speak to non-Jews. The only problem is that they still pose a problem because the Maaseh, they live here. So you have to almost like remove them from the picture. How do you remove them from the picture? That's what the Mishnah says in Erevin. The Chazal and Misakin have to rent out from them. So if you give them a symbolic, very small payment, and you give them their right area, so they basically Misakin themselves. So they're out of the picture symbolically. And after these three processes are done, then you can carry. So first you have to build walls. That's the first, most important part. After you do that, then you have to do a schiras rishos. You have to remove the goyim by giving them a token payment. And then the third thing you have to do is you have to make an erev chatzeres. You have to chip in to buy the challahs or the matzahs. We do it with matzahs, because if you do it with challahs, the challahs can get stale. You have to do it every week again. If you do it with matzahs, it lasts for an entire year. So that's pretty much standard protocol. So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Erevin that every once in a while something can go wrong. One guy forgot to participate in the Erev Chatzeres. He forgot. He wasn't around. He forgot to participate. He couldn't find challah. It's a big problem. So if you have one person who didn't participate in the Erev Chatzeres, he asks it for everybody. Because now they're no longer one big happy family. But you're still going from one domain to another person's domain. So let's say you have an apartment building with 50 families and 50 different families. And 49 made an Erev and one of them forgot to make an Erev. So that 50th family still has a share of his own private share, so to speak, in the lobbies and the hallways. I can't carry out of my apartment into that hallway anymore until he joins up with the Erev. The only problem is that Shabbos has already started. So you can't make an Erev once. When Shabbos starts, the game is over. So what can be done? The Gemara discusses another possibility, which is called Bittul Rishus. Maybe almost like an emergency measure, like temporary, the person who forgot to join the Erev could say, oh, I'm a Vata Marishus. I don't really live here. And he's not going to use his, he'll live in his apartment, he's not going to carry out his apartment, he's mavatos rishus to the tzibur. So that's the second way of doing this. Either you make an Erev Chatzeres, or you do a bit of rishus. We don't like to do a bit of rishus because it has a lot of limitations on what he can then do. But bit of rishus is potentially going to solve the problem. So the Mishnah quotes the Chalikas at Tanoim, can bit of rishus be done if the Shabbos starts? So Shami says no, only about the Rishos, only before Shabbos. He still says after Shabbos. That's how we pass. You can even do Bittul Rishos after Shabbos. Why can you do Bittul Rishos? Thoughts? So the Gemara compares it to the Sugi of Kalach Hitzel Yafas. The Gemara says that it's the same as Betruma, that when the person comes later, says, oh, you should take the ones, and he really means it. So he blind also the Mafreya that he meant it all along also. He didn't know before. He didn't know that Reuben's taking off Truma of him, but if he would have known, he would have been happy about it. So the Mishnah is the same thing over here. The guy forgot to do it in Chatzeres. He forgot to do the Rishos B'Beil Yom. So when he realizes at 12 o'clock at night, Friday night, he forgot to do the Rishos. So he says, oh, yeah, if I would have known, I would have definitely been Mevatam Rishos earlier. So Bittul Rishos is like the Nichus of Mafreya. I would have been happy. I would have been satisfied. I would have been thrilled to be Mevatam Rishos. Well, that's good. Zon Zayin, that's good. Bittul Rishos is good, but Mafreya, because of Kol HaChetzel Yafas. So comes the Ketzos and says, wait a second. The Gemara says in Bamatzia that we hold Nichus L'Arfei Eloyim Minu. And we don't say it. The only reason why it works by Truma is because there was a Minah Shlichus. So if there was a Minah Shlichus, that's the only thing that permits us to invoke the principle of, because it's not really Nichus L'Arfei, it's all about Freya. There really wasn't an appointment of a Shlichus. How in the world could the Gemara borrow that concept and plug it into Erevin? Erevin is not shlichus. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Erevin is like walking into a guy's house and taking oranges without his permission. So the Chus L'Arfei should be no good. So the Tels throws his hands up. So the Emes is Tais already yes, the Kasha. And Tais says Erevin is only to Rabbanan. It's a Kula Shalom HaMelech. They were making even the Chus L'Arfei. So don't ask any Kashas from Erevin, says Tais. But the Tais, the Tels did not want to just delegate Erevin to the back corner and say Erevin is different. Don't ask any questions. Tzelz thought that Erevin also works for the rules, the hardcore rules of the Dimonis. So how does it work? It's the Chus L'Arfei Eloyim Minun. So says Tzelz, the answer is two words: mitzvah shiny. This is Mokum mitzvah. We're trying to make the Erevin. We're trying to avoid people carrying on Shabbos. This is called Tzarchei mitzvah. So Mokum mitzvah, even the Chus L'Arfei Eloyim Minun. So Tzelz says that's the raya. For the Rambam Shita, that's the Raya that Nichus L'Mafrei for Mitzvah Sabrinon, and that's the rationale to permit to take a person's house and fill because Nichusa the Mitzvah Kein Amidan L'Mafrei. So the Tzelz has collected Mekoros to that effect. He collected a Rambam Nichus Trumas. He collected a Gemara Mesavas Erevin. He collected a Gemara Mesavas Kedushin. He collected Rishayim and Nar Sugya, who based on Nichus Mitzvah of Pesachim Davdal let you borrow thousand films without permission. And he develops this long, long story, the Ktsais and Simon of ways. Ken, Nichusa, the Mitzvah, Ken, Amin, Lamafrei. The question, of course, that now has to be posed is, how does this work? The fact that it works, so the Ktsais is well documented, four different requirements, that it works. How does it work? How do we understand it? It's not a gate. Mitzvah doesn't give you a right to violate the Dimamanis. Mitzvah is not just an end all, breaks all the rules. So we want mitzvahs to be done, but if it's not yours, it's not yours. If it's gzeila, it's gzeila. So how does Nichus of the mitzvah about change the mechanisms of what is called mitzvah, what is called gzeila, what's not called gzeila? So perhaps the answer to this question can be found in a very, very cryptic Rashi, the 15th of the Mamakums. It's a Rashi of a comment of some of Vavam et Aleph. Rashi is addressing a question that's really above Metzia question. Rashi bears him of a comment. Reason. The Gemara in the Rambam is discussing the principle of Yush, but not the way we're usually familiar with it vis-a-vis Aveda. The Gemara is discussing Rubis, the sugyas of Geneva and Gezela. Does the sugya of Yush play out in terms of Geneva in the following sense? We know that Reuben steals something from Shimon, so the Torah says the Hesher is a guzzle, so Reuben has to return that item. Reuben has no right to keep the item and then just pay him cash. The Hesher is a Gezela Shagozel. That's the Posey and Chumash Pashalikha. However, every once in a while, something can occur that can enable Reuven to actually, quote unquote, be kind of the gezeila, kind of the geneva, to acquire the item that he stole. And doesn't mean he gets off scot-free. He still has to reimburse the owner, but he just has to pay kishas gezeila. He just has to pay him cash, whatever the item was worth at the time of the gezeila. So every once in a while, something can occur that can affect a kinyan geneva, kinyan gezeila, on behalf of the gazlan. Not that he doesn't pay. It's just that he gets to keep the item and pays the cash value of what it was at the beginning. So that's the whole sugyas, the seventh perek of Bava Kamma, the ninth perek of Bava Kamma, sugyas and sugyas and sugyas of what has to happen in order to make that change. So one of the famous things that could happen is shinui. Let's say the Mishnah says it in the ninth perek of Bava Kamma, if Reuven steals wood and he turns it into a table, he does not have to return the table. He keeps the table and he pays what wood was worth at the time of the stealing. So that's a bit of shinika. So in the middle of that sugya in Bava Kamma under Samach Vav, the Gemara raises the question: what about other potential kinyanim? The other kinyan that the Gemara talks about is Yush. What if Reuben stole something from Shimon, and Shimon gave up hope? Shimon threw his hands up and said, "Ach, we miss Yayish. I'm never getting the guy to Ganav. I'll never see him again. The system's corrupt. I'll never the Bezel. I'll never catch it. Forget about it. I'm never going to see this item anymore." And then the Ganav is caught. So now with the God of his court, do we say that since Reuven, the Nigzel, was Mishyaish, so Yush is kind of, why would we say Yush is kind of, what's the source of Yush is kind of? The Gemara says, by Hashem is Aveda, Yush is kind of. Just as, let's say, if I lose something, and then I'm Mishyaish from it, you pick it up, you get to keep it. So Yush is a kitten in halacha. So maybe Yush, it's kind of a vei, that's kind of a geneva as well. So the Gemara is not sure about that point. The Gemara says they're not exactly the same because a veda is what's called be'atera osaliyadeh. Gezela is what's called be'isura osaliyadeh. By a veda, the guy picks up the veda, didn't do anything wrong. By gezela, as a gazlan, as a valavevi, by the yinisser. So maybe that plays a difference. Maybe I got to learn bevakam esemachav to figure out why that should or should not make a difference. So that's the suffix thing about it. Remember bevakam esemachav himself as a suffix is Yush really kind of by gezela or not? Do we derive gezela from a maiden? Not derive gezela from a maiden? Unclear. That's the latest suffix that appears in Maseches Bevakam. So in passing, Rashi feels compelled to tell you. By the way, how do you know Yush works by an aid altogether? The Gemara is assuming it works. Every seventh grader knows that it works. The Mishnah and the Metzias Yush works. And the Gemara is contemplating whether we can derive Gezela from a Veda. I know what failed Veda. They're not even Mishnah and the Pasuk. So Rashi is searching for, again, this Rashi could have easily have been in Bava Metzia. It probably would have been more appropriate to be in Bava Metzia, but for some reason, it's in Rav Kama Sam above that Rashi decides to tell you what the secret behind the second bracha of Bava Metzia is. You can learn Elam Metzia the entire year of seventh grade and never ask this kasha. Where did it come from? So Rashi, Rav Kama Sam above, asked the kasha. So Rashi says, let's take a look at the top of the back page. Vakami days to the Yadi Kanila, that as long as the owner in Messiah Shabbat comes from Mata Zakam, as long as the owner was Messiah before the fellow picks it up, he's kind of. What's the source? He quotes your Gemara about Mitzia Chabez. The problem is the Gemara doesn't say what Rashi says it says. What does the Gemara say? I mean, I'm Rebbeinu Sheshav for Nahar. How do you know that if, let's say, Reuben loses something and the river takes it downstream? It's a guy, there's a big flood, and all of a sudden his couch floats out the door and ends up going down the Mississippi. And it's down, it's 100 miles later, and Mark Twain finds it 100 miles down the Mississippi. How do you know that he's allowed to keep it? That's called Shofar Nahar. How do you know? What's the Mokor? So the Lashon of the Gemara in Bava Metzia is B'nayim L'Avedish Shofar Nahar. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. How do you know there's a din of Shofar Nahar? So Rashi adds on, obviously, it's because the owner was Mishyash. So how do you know? What's the source for that idea? So says the Gemara, commenting on the Pasuk Pashki say the Torah says you have to return a veda shetayva b'menu umatzasa, something that was lost from him. So that's a little bit of a strange phrase. Shetovad men, it was lost from him. If it wasn't lost from him, who was it lost from? You should just say ashetovad umatzasa. He lost it. Ashetovad b'menu is a mashmos to tell me b'menu means that it's something that. It's not a crazy lost item. It's like, I dropped something in the street. So I can't remember whatever happened to it. That's a tova mimenu. So in a situation where a guy just dropped something and it's going to come back for 10 minutes later, he didn't give up hope yet. That's called a shetova mimenu. That's the mitzvah shavas aveda. But if it's avuda mimenu umikaladam, it's not just lost from him. It's lost from any sane person. If your couch is going downstream to Mississippi at 100 miles an hour, nobody's going downstream to find your couch for you. It's lost, finished, gemaru. Tova mimenu mitzasa. It's avuda mimenu mikaladam. Whenever I see this gemara, I always remember when I was a little boy. So, remember, I went to the beach. I was playing with this. I had this big ball that I used to love to play with. And somehow I was playing, and the ball ended up getting into the water. And the waves started to, you know, started to take the water started to take the ball away. So I like ran over to the water. I remember my father. I'm sure at the time, so my father jumped. My father was a good, very good swimmer. He jumped in. You know, he couldn't go too far. Tried to go as safe as a what? He couldn't get it. So then. We ran to the lifeguard here. The lifeguard said, I gotta watch Thousand Beach. I can't worry about this little kid's ball. So the guy said, the ball. So I remember as a brokenheartedly, you know, watching that ball. You know, I remember for months, I used to always ask my father, do you think that the ball arrived in Europe yet? That was my, I thought maybe I'll cap a play, maybe I'll pick it up in England somewhere. So we used to always think, where'd that ball? Yeah, I still think. 45 years later, I'm still, you know, still thinking about that ball. So that's Shafanah. That's what's called Zuta Shalyam. The ocean took it away. The river took it away. It's not coming back. So comes the Gemara and says that you're allowed to take it. I mean, basically, it's a freebie. That once it's shot for Nahar, once it's Zut HaShayam, so it's Nahar, the game's over. So Rashi says, what's the background for that halacha? Why is that? It's just not exerts the cost of shot for Nahar. The answer is Pashut, says Rashi. The Torah recognizes that the fellow was Mishyashim. Obviously, that's the reason why it works. Such a stam, a halacha Moshe Masinai, if a beach ball was in the ocean, the game's over. No, a beach ball's in the ocean, and now it's past where the lifeguard is, so for Shteitzich, you never thought you were going to get it back again. So says Rashi, we can extrapolate from that every case of Yush. What's the difference conceptually between that and the guy who drops his dollar bill on the floor? There's no simon on the dollar bill. He's never going to find it again. No one's going to ever return it to him. So it's Mesiyah from it. So Rashi in Bava Kamma tells us the secret of the setback of Bava Tzia. Again, you can learn 15 blot in Bava Tzia and never realize this. Says Rashi, the mokba for the din of Yush is this posuk, Gzeres HaKosu Shetovim Menom Mesasa. That can't be Rashi. So this Rashi is startling for many, many, many different reasons. First of all, the Gemara never says it. The Gemara never uses this as the source. The Gemara uses this as the source for Shofar Nahar. The Gemara does not use this as the source for Yush. And come to Rishonim, by the Ramban and others, and say, wait a second. This is not completely different than the Sug of Yush. What's the proof positive that this is different from the Sug of Yush? The Gemara says in the beginning of the Sefer Berakah of Metzia that Shofar Nahar replies, even if the owner doesn't know that it was Shofar Nahar. I'm not even on the beach right now. I didn't even know my ball got lost. If somebody sees a beach ball coming over the ocean from America to Europe, whether the owner knows the ball ever ended there, in the first place, you're still allowed to take it. Shofar Nahar's mutter, Shofar Nahar's game, the game's over. That's Lifkin Aveda. That's not true by Yush. By Yush, how do we pass him? Yush Lamidaf will have a Yush. Unless the owner knows about it, we pass the Kabbalah, the Yush is no good. So the Ramban has to Kashi, according to Rashi, that the din of Shofar Nahar and the din of Yush are identical. No, they're not. They work radically different. Yush Tacha only applies if the owner knows about it, where Shofar Nahar works under all circumstances. So for Karet, they're not the same. They're very, very different from one another. So what's going on in Rashi? What's going on in Rashi? So we have to wait. We have to jump to Friday to try and understand what's beyond Rashi. And the answer to Rashi is going to set the stage for putting the whole piece of this puzzle together about the sugya of Nichuz of the Mitzvah, how in the world the place and the Rambam and the Ketz Mishnah, all the pieces make sense. The key is going to be in this Rashi and Bava Kamma. Let's jump on Friday. Okay, Henry, I think we can probably get the, I don't know if we'll finish the sugya on Friday, we can get the next Bava Kamma started, okay?
Okay, I'll send them out today. All right. Can I hear?